What?
Now Robin at Slake City.
The lanky former white coat jumped quickly to his feet. He clung to one of the stainless steel support poles in the aisle and squinted through the dirt-rimmed windshield. The repeated bleating of the car horns roused the other passengers from their stupor. Eager to gaze upon the promised land, they lurched forward and pressed in close behind Huff, exhaling an eye-watering fog of alcohol fumes.
Look at that!
Holy shit!
A short distance from the nuke glass's edge, Slake City was just as Mike the Drunkard had described it. This was no typical Deathlands shantytown. It consisted of a cluster of shiny black segmented domes, the biggest being 70 feet in diameter. All the structures were interconnected by black tubular walkways.
My goodness, they are here.
Huth's heart soared. The prefab mil-spec shelters were definitely Five technology. Made of the same synthetic, artificially intelligent material as the battle suits, they could deflect conventional and laser attacks. Next to the clustered domes were a half-dozen all-black, all-terrain assault vehicles, state-of-the-art killing machines designed for high-speed pursuit and merciless interdiction. Closer to the thermoglass massif, beside the start of a crude road that cut over it, stood a group of huge black semi-trailers and tractors. These, too, had all-terrain capability. On the far side of the domes, a half-dozen attack gyroplanes sat on a landing field, lined up and ready to scramble. From the number of otherworld domes, vehicles, and aircraft, Huth had no doubt that his people had come across in force, and they'd come prepared to stay. Big Mike didn't stop the bus at the main compound, but drove onto a pounded rectangle of dirt, roughly 100 feet square. Inside it, huddled on the ground, were 60 or 70 people. The seated Deathlanders didn't rise to their feet when Mike parked the bus beside them, nor did they make any sign of greeting or curiosity. Few of them even bothered to look up.
Why are they just sitting there like that? Are they rad-blasted dimmies or fucking what?
Five's top white coat could have answered the drunk's question, but he didn't. He knew that no matter how many troops had crossed over to this reality, there were certain jobs they wouldn't tackle themselves. Dangerous tasks that were better left to an expendable indigenous population. Because the Byramville fools hadn't noticed or guessed the significance of the silver bracelets and anklets worn by the driver, the whores, and all the people seated on the ground, they were in for a very unpleasant surprise. The woman standing beside Huth lifted one of her gigantic naked breasts and idly scratched the skin underneath.
Hey, Big Mike, where's them fancy new shitters you told us about? You gotta piss me a river.
From a bulkhead doorway in the biggest of the domed huts, a squad of black-armored creatures poured forth. They carried massive tri-barreled long blasters. They jogged with grim purpose toward the bus.
Giant fucking muty roaches!
Monsters! Red-blasted monsters!
Do something! They're gonna eat us!
Fear quickly sobered Hutt's fellow passengers, but not before the black warriors had fanned out and surrounded the vehicle.
Get me the fuck out of here!
Yeah, Big Mike, get us gone!
I don't think so.
Oh, shit!
There wasn't time for any of them to scoot out the door or crawl out the side windows. When they realized there was no escape, their fear turned to panic. The passengers hurled themselves under the seats. Huff was the only one left standing.
Oh, no! Oh, no, Lordy, no!
Big Mike the Drunkard climbed from the driver's seat. He didn't waste energy trying to pry the passengers loose himself.
Sluts! Get them out of here!
Gotcha, Mike!
The sluts advanced, wielding long, thick, black, tape-wrapped batons. From the looks on their faces, it was the high point of their day.
Now we get to prod! Move it, lard-ass!
Hey! What you doing?
Shut up!
Fuck you, bitch!
You had your chance, limp dick!
I told you it was because I
I heard it all before, now move!
The pink-haired prostitute had merely tapped him on the buttocks with her stick, and a fat blue spark had jumped from the tip of the baton to the seat of his pants.
Damn, that was fun!
The rider jerked away from the second baton tap so violently that he crashed his head into the wall. As he scrambled onto the seat, he waved his hands in the air.
No, no, no more. Please!
Then get out!
The man stole a sideward glance out the window, cringed at the black creatures looking back at him, and seized hold of the seat's back bar with both hands. He hung on to it, white-knuckled.
I ain't going no place.
When the slut tried to touch the back of his hand with the electric prod, he deftly moved it out of the way, sliding it along the tubing, but still maintaining his death grip.
Ha!
Obviously, this wasn't the first time a victim had tried the maneuver. The woman immediately countered by pressing the tip of the baton to the bar. The voltage was considerable. In an instant, it brought the man bolt upright from his seat. He crouched there, shuddering, his teeth clenched, the tendons in his neck standing like cables, unable to open his smoking hands and pull away from the pain. Only when the pink-haired hooker drew back the baton and released him from the paralysis did he collapse. She waved her magic wand at him once more, and he took off down the aisle, running past Huth and down the steps.
Thought so!
The other two sluts gleefully attacked the remaining malingerers. Not even the strongest could withstand the shock treatment for more than a few seconds. One by one, they deserted their dark hidey holes, then allowed themselves to be stampeded down the aisle and out the door. Still clinging to his stanchion, Huth watched with no small measure of delight. He was confident that one by one, the wrongs of his recent history were about to be righted. From the bottom of the stairway, Pink Hair aimed her prod at Huth's scrawny behind.
And what about this bag of bones?
Nah, don't waste the battery.
Big Mike grabbed the scientist by the scruff of the neck. Before Huth could protest, he was sent tumbling down the steps. The shovel landed in the dirt beside him.
What?
Better take that with you. You're gonna need it.
But you... All right.
As Huth pushed up from the ground, momentarily defeated, the battle-suited troopers closed in on all sides, trapping the passengers against the side of the bus. The big-breasted woman no longer wanted the fancy outhouses. She cowered, monumentally topless, as a wide, wet stain spread across the seat of her BDU pants. She wasn't alone. Two young men likewise soiled themselves before they dropped to their bellies and buried their faces in the dirt. Huth was the only one who showed no fear. He straightened, brushed himself off, and leaving the shovel behind, stepped over to one of the helmeted soldiers. There was no insignia on his battle suit, at least none visible. Not that Huth expected to see five inscribed on the breastplate. He had already concluded that this wasn't a five operation. As Totality Concept Director, he knew that five didn't have a backup transreality unit in place. Only the individual global conglomerates had the economic and technical clout to duplicate his great achievement. The research had to have been done in secret, as it was a major treaty violation, subject to extreme punishment. Given that his Earth was in its last days, the threat of punishment was no real deterrent. As Huth approached, the soldier reacted, and he found himself staring down the clawfoot flash hider of a tri-barrel blazer. The muzzle was aimed at the bridge of his nose. Not only was the weapon capable of boring a hole clear through his head in a fraction of a second, but it could also simultaneously cook everything between his ears. The thought of his precious genius brain reduced to a pea-sized cinder made the scientist momentarily go weak-kneed.
Stand back!
I know how terrible I must look to you, and I know how difficult it's going to be for you to believe me, but I am Dr. Huth, director of the Totality Concept Transreality Program. I was sucked across to this world during the explosion. I've endured terrible hardships to get here and find you. See? See this?
He held up the embroidered five on his lab coat's breast pocket. The trooper's gauntleted hand moved to the plate beside the pulse rifle's trigger guard.
No, don't do that! I know about five. Omniko, Invector, Mitsuki, Questar, and Hutton Byram Kobe. I know you're human beneath the battle suits. How would I know all that if I wasn't telling you the truth? If I didn't come from the same reality as you?
Maybe you're psychic. Get in line with the others for your bracelets or I'm gonna fry your wormy little brain.
Rad Blaster, don't chill the Dimmy Bastard! I won't make my quota for today!
You're bringing in the dregs. This skinny scab shouldn't fucking count for your quota.
I know he looks kind of thin and wheezy, but he's got a lot of work left in him. I've seen the man shovel shit, so I know what I'm talking about.
If your shovel doesn't move back three steps real quick, he's gonna be shit.
Huth took the trooper at his word and retreated the required distance. Overcome by anguish, he threw back his head and clenched his fists.
Somebody here has got to know me. I'm Dr. Huth. I developed this technology. I'm the reason you're all here!
This admission drew murderous stares from the captive Deathlanders seated on the ground nearby. A few of them hawked and spat in his direction. Huth fell to his knees.
Oh.
Get over there with the others. Do it now or you're dead.
Don't shoot. I know.